For your kindness to us, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for our time to pray and that you have made intercession a reality, availability to us. Help us be a people who pray. We just ask that we know we falter in this area. Help us just continue to bring our needs and our burdens, our concerns, and the concerns of those around us. I thank you for this group of people who have just done that. May we continue to lift up those who have heavy hearts and difficult situations. Guide us and direct us. Use me just by your Spirit. May it be consistent with your word. In Christ's name, amen. Excuse me. Okay. I'm sure this is from my background, but I always enjoy, or I kind of have a enjoyment looking at an old barn. And I remember my grandfather had built a barn, and so it was kind of something that stuck in my mind. But one thing I see sometimes I'm going down the road, and especially when I drive from here over to Orillia, and you see a lot of the old farmhouses and the old barns, and some of them, as you look, you'll see some barns have been there a long time. They look a little the way I feel sometimes. They're kind of leaning, and maybe the foundation has shifted a little bit, you can tell. But then there are some barns that if you look at them, it's amazing. You know they were built exceptionally well because they're standing solid on their foundation. The frame is solid. There's no sinking in the top. On the rafters, it's an amazing accomplishment to have a barn that's lasted for years and years and years. In our spiritual lives, we don't want to be like one of those old barns that's sagging, and the foundation has given, the sides have kind of buckled. We want to have a strong foundation, and that's why we keep coming back to this whole area of the Word of God, and talking about the issues that are very relevant, they're very important in our thinking, although it would be minimized. Obviously, the world's not concerned about it, but what we've dealt with a lot of ways is that a lot of Christians are not that concerned about the basis, the foundation of our faith based on the Word of God. And so we come back to this issue, and I just want to deal with several points that are relevant in giving us a foundation, and then I want to deal with some motivation issues. One writes, How can you be sure that the authors recorded in their writings what they wrote was an accurate record of what God revealed? The answer, the same author goes on, is wrapped up in the doctrine of inspiration. And this is what bridges the gap between the thoughts in the minds of human authors and the writing of these thoughts in the original Greek and Hebrew manuscripts. Revelation, and we've talked about this a lot, but relates to the unveiling of God's message. Inspiration relates to the recording of God's message. So God had, he revealed, but then it had to be recorded. And that involves this concept of inspiration. And one writes, biblical inspiration may be defined as God superintending human authors so that using their own individual personalities, they composed and recorded without error his revelation to man in the words of the original autographs or the first writings, whether in Hebrew or Greek, the author's first writing. So, biblical inspiration is God superintending. Now, if you go with me, I like to go, and we're going to move to motivation. Not just, we talk about revelation, inspiration, and there's other things that are involved in this, but we want to talk about motivation. And I think that's where we're really struggling in our own personal lives at times, and also in those who are younger in the faith. Just, is the word relevant? Is it important? Does it make much difference? Now, let's go to 2 Timothy 3. And when we talk about the world and where we're at, 2 Timothy has so much to say. And I just want to give a few points for context to bring us down to the passage that we'll be looking at. The first is, in verse 1, realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. Now, the word realize is a command. It's an imperative. And the idea to wake up. Now, I don't think we have any reason in this group to say, this is so surprising. We know these are difficult days. I'm amazed. I was reading a little book just recently about being encouraged, being discouraged. And one little observation was maybe we need to watch a little less of the news. And I thought, there's some truth to that. I like to be up to date on some things, but sometimes it's just so overwhelming. All the stuff happening, all the stuff rolling in. But we live, the last days are difficult days. The last days are difficult times. They're come, they're here. And then it goes on to list some of the reasons for that. And the very first one on the very top of the list, men will be lovers of self. I mean, we could all give an illustration of something that happened this week that is an example of someone who was just self-consumed and they did what they did and didn't think about anybody else and they ran over somebody else and it was out of selfishness. But when the whole culture becomes more and more like that, it becomes more and more difficult. So anyway, we need to be aware, not be surprised. The balance is trying not to be overwhelmed by negativity, but to not be naive. Not be naive. Now, another command in this passage, and I'm dropping down to verse 5, is holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied this power. Now, they're talking about people who want to be religious. They're a form of godliness, but they've denied its power. They're probably not saved, but it says, avoid such men as these. Now, that's a command again. Watch out. We need to be awake, and we need to be alert to the danger of dangerous men. Just because somebody is religious does not mean they're godly. And in fact, you think, who were the greatest enemies of Christ? The religious crowd. Here, Pilate wanted to let Christ off. And the Pharisees drove it home. Crucify, crucify, crucify him, right? So we need to be aware. These are the days we live in. Just because somebody's religious, just because they've written a religious book, doesn't mean it's necessarily from the Lord. Now, this is where this gets into our motivation from the Word. Drop your eyes down to verse 14. You, however, continue. Now, that's our imperative. This is our third imperative. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, I just want to... We are, as we move into this, there's motivation to walk on in the Word, to continue in the Word. Now, again, I know I'm talking to the choir here, but we need to continue to study it. We need to, it seems like in the last month or more, the Lord just highlighted to me in my mind the importance to believe it. I mean, really, really. Really hold on to the truth. Believe it. And then obviously to obey it. And then to teach it. To share it. To pass it on. So these are things that we're supposed to continue in. And then as we look here, it gives motivation why. And encouragement to walk on in God's Word. We're to walk on, and I just in kind of encapsulating these verses, in the reality of the Word. This is verse 14. Continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, you remember who Timothy learned from? early in his childhood. I'll just read the verse 15. And from childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. Well, who in his childhood? Well, if you remember earlier, it was his grandmother and his mother. They impacted his life. I think that's a great encouragement. And also important realization for us who are grandparents. It doesn't say anything about dad. I think, obviously, we believe a godly dad is a very, very important component. But it's interesting, Timothy was impacted by the reality of God's work in the life of his grandmother and mother. I think that's one of the important things to see, to set it, and none of us set a perfect example, but if we allow God's word to impact our life, it shows there's reality for those who follow behind us. Obviously, if you don't practice what you preach, it nullifies what we say, right? And sometimes it actually makes it worse because people will say, well, you're just a hypocrite. Of course, people love to find a hypocrite anyway, but we don't need to give them any more help, right? So he saw this example in those who were around him, and obviously he saw it in Paul. He saw that in Paul's life. Someone said to me on Sunday as they were walking out, they said, one thing that greatly impacted their life is that their parents, after they came to Christ, and they came to Christ just a little bit later, I think this person was probably in grade school, but when they came to Christ, there was a dramatic change in their parents' life. And that obviously had a huge impact in her life, right? And so we want to see that in our lives, so it will impact those around us. You know, it's amazing. You know, I've realized more and more, and this, I'm sure this is true no matter where you live, but we all have neighborhood watch. Somebody's always watching. You know, you didn't think, you know, the way you handled the whatever you dropped in their driveway, or how you mowed the lawn, or what you did with the snow, how you handle that, what you deal with some of the frustrations. People see things. And we mentioned tonight, you might pray for us. We have, Lord willing, next week, we'll have two couples from, they're really nice neighbors that are right, we can see there. One's right beside us, one's right across the street. So pray for us that we'll have, we're just getting a little brunch together for Christmas kind of thing. So that. And then this other neighbor, who the lady has cancer, and she just had her surgery. And so trying to understand how to relate. We're not quite sure how to relate to them. But anyway, so pray for us. And then our other neighbor, Tim, we've mentioned. And I think Tim really has come to know the Lord, but he needs encouragement. So anyway, but people watch. They watch. And so we want to give the kind of example that it shows us reality. It shows us reality with the Word. And by God's grace, we walk in His grace. We need to walk in His power. And hopefully this will be more and more true. And of course, when people were watching us on Sunday morning, they're taking notes, whether they whether we realize it or not, right? Okay, one encouragement, you know, Tim and Tiffany, and I know you know who I assume you know who Tim and Tiffany are, but he said this to me just on Sunday. He said, "Oh, I'm so thankful to be here," and I'm sure he said that to some of you. So that we just love this place, you know, but I think that is a wonderful statement. And, you know, we're not blowing our horn, but I think it's a wonderful statement because Tim and Tiffany have come in and they feel loved. They feel loved. And he's such an encouraging guy, right? But they're also ministering to other people. Someone was just sharing this with this week. Somebody I didn't even know they were ministering to. So that in itself is really special. But just be encouraged, you know, but they feel loved, they feel a part, they come in, they got a smile, they're glad to be here. I'm very thankful for that. Anyway, now let's notice another one. The Word of God also, another reason that we should be motivated to walk in it is that it gives us wisdom. Notice again verse 15. And from childhood you've known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, sacred writings give wisdom. Wisdom for initial, obviously, and we need, you know, we come to faith through the Word of God, through knowledge of the truth. That's why missionaries go out, so people will know the truth. And faith comes by hearing. It comes by hearing. They need to hear the truth, read the truth. And so initial salvation, and probably, and we know this is true from other passages, it's also essential for transformation. Initial salvation, ongoing transformation. Again, I know you know this, but I need to be reminded. You know, Satan discourages us. He distracts us. This is a crazy week. I was just thinking all the just a crazy week, right? There's lots of details, but I'm thinking, you know, it's so easy to get distracted, and from the priorities get put on the bottom of the list. And being in God's Word is one of His priorities for our life, because it gives us wisdom how to walk through a wacky world. It is wacky. So how do you deal with some of these situations? How do you deal? Marty has a situation right now. It's kind of wacky at work. So you say, she's got a great boss right now, so we're very thankful for that. But she's got some other situations that are just hard to know what to deal with. How do you relate to this person? And so wisdom from God's Word. Now, notice another thing that is critical. To walk because of the character of God's Word. Now, that's kind of, maybe there could be a better word for that. But the way God's Word, what it is, that I want to notice verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. Now, scripture there is, that word is used over 50 times in the New Testament. Always refers to the written revelation of God's truth, God's Word as we have it. But notice the Word. All scripture is inspired by God. Now, that's a wonderful, this passage is absolutely critical in your mindset of God's Word. The Greek word is built on two words. It is God is part of it, theos, and breathe. It's God breathed, or it's the breath of God, basically, is what inspired means. It is inspired. It is God's breath. It is God's very words. And that is absolutely critical, because this is all about why the Word of God is so critical to us. It is God-breathed, as you might, you know, you've heard it, I'm sure, another. But the origin of the Bible is God Himself, His very, very words. And we should, that's why we don't want to trash God's book. We don't want to neglect God's book. We don't want to forget God's book. That's why we need to be in God's book. And so it's God-breathed, inspiration. I thought this was, it's a little long quote, but it's just one way that highlights the inspiration of God's Word. And I'll read it. Written by shepherds, fishermen. Just think, fishermen. You know, what did they have to say? Kings, sages, farmers, priests, and military generals. The Bible constitutes a unity unequaled in the annals of any literature. Even the most skeptical must hunt to find supposed contradictions. And that's very true, isn't it? If you really, you know, you find people that want to find this contradiction, that, I mean, they have to go on a fishing expedition, really. Now, I know there are some that you say, well, in the Gospels, this story is different, but it's from a different angle. You're looking at a different vantage point. But anyway, there is clearly a unity of purpose, character, and aim throughout the Word of God. The spiritual and moral utterances stand in perfect harmony. Readers sense they must continue into the New Testament from the Old in order to discover the completion of the drama that began in history hundreds and thousands of years prior. Thus, the New Testament completes the revelation of the past and unites the entire Bible into a perfect whole. In this unity, Scripture stands unique. No modern or ancient religious parchments contain such a consistent system of belief. The main reason that seems so obvious is that the divine author is the Lord Himself. All Scripture is inspired by God. Isn't it wonderful? Here you have, and I started back in Genesis, and so I started back, and you go all the way to the beginning, all the way to the beginning, and then as we go to Revelation, we go all the way to the end of history. What other book encapsulates the whole beginning to the end, and then has everything in the middle in it, and it comes together, it fits? See, and what amazes me is that you have, let's say you have Malachi, or you have, let's say you got Moses, and he wrote thousands of years, and then you come and you have John. I mean, all the difference in time frame alone is amazing. And then you have a fisherman like Peter, who, you know, it's amazing God ever used Peter, right? But it's wonderful that he used Peter, but it's a fisherman. And then you have scholars, and you have kings like Solomon. I mean, can you imagine getting it? Okay, guys, we're going to get a group of people together. We're going to get them all from, you know, of course, it'd be a little hard to do this, but we're going to go thousands of years back, and we're going to pick people from all different kinds of life skills and work ethics and all kinds of differences, and we're going to put them all, and we're going to write a book. You think, got to be kidding. We couldn't even get people in Ontario to come together to write a book. You write one, you know, somebody's writing in North Bay and somebody's writing down, you know, down south. And you say, well, what's the unity of this? You couldn't do it. Only God could do it. And so it's inspired by God. It's wonderful, wonderful. But this should motivate us. We don't need to be embarrassed about the Bible. And of course, the world does try to shame us for believing it. But that's just part of the lie. Okay. Let's just a little bit more. We want to walk on in the Word because of the profit, or it's profitable. And we see that in this text. All Scripture, verse 16 again, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Okay. It is profitable. It is valuable. This should really encourage us, because we need all of these areas. It is profitable for teaching, instruction. I've probably given this in the past, but someone came across this, and I it's an older deal, but there was a teacher, and high school students. They were juniors, seniors. And this is some years back, but they were all heading off to college, so they were, you know, people who had done some work in books, and here were some of their answers, the quiz on Bible literature, and here were some of the answers they got from students about just details of the Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah were lovers. That was one answer. Jezebel was Ahab's donkey. And that might have been kind of close. I don't know. Anyway, the New Testament Gospels were written by Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John. Eve was created from an apple. Jesus was baptized by Moses. Little time frame twist. What was Golgotha? Golgotha was the name of the giant who slew the apostle David. You kind of have to work with that one. Okay. But see, now these are people, and again, people in North America, and this was a while back, so there was not as much antagonism, at least publicly, in the system and in the schools and all of that. But it just shows the lack of knowledge, just basic understanding of the Bible. So, When we miss, obviously you miss, you think, well, it's not a big deal to miss a name. But usually when you miss a name, you miss a principle. Because you don't understand. Sodom and Gomorrah. There is a principle of judgment. And we haven't got that in our culture. We don't understand that one, right? But a principle of judgment, and then you have all of these. So when you miss these names, you don't even have a clue about the concept. So we need the teaching, and we need the teaching just because that's what we hang our frame of reference on. That gives us principles to walk by. As I go through life, sometimes in trying to think of an issue, I think, well, what is the principle? What is the purpose? Well, where do you find that? In God's Word. In God's Word. So, now, notice not only for teaching, but for reproof. Now, this is one that we're not very favorable toward, either to give it or receive it, right? I think in our culture, being politically correct, reproof is off the table. So, but the problem is, we all veer in our life, and at some point, we need help for somebody to nudge us, to adjust us, to wake us up. I remember one time, a friend of mine told me this. A person came to him, and he said, "I'm coming to give you information, but I'm not looking for any advice." And this was about a big deal. I don't want to go into any more details. You wouldn't know the person, but this was a big deal. And I would say this: that decision, because I know the people involved, that decision is still having negative impact. Still having negative impact. So, don't reprove me. But there are times we need to be reproved, and there are times we need to reprove. That I find that I don't. Now, with my kids, I didn't find that quite so hard, right? But sometimes with other people, you know, because you know you may get a backlash. But the Word of God, ultimately, if we reprove somebody as Christians, we better make sure it's consistent with what God says. Because His Word is the basis for any kind of reproof. We're not just trying to push our personal preferences. We're thinking, what are biblical principles? And that's why we need the teaching. Now, notice the next one, correction. This is where hopefully the reproof is helpful and it brings restoration. That's when we get back in line, back on the road, going down and living out what God wants. So, you know, there are times in life, I mean, just... It's amazing to me how hard it is for us to readjust. But it's so important for us to be teachable. So important for us to be teachable. And if we're not teachable, then those we are around, they're not going to be teachable either. Right? And so, it's a good example to our kids and our grandkids that, you know, grandpa's not always right. And if I'm wrong, or if I said something that was hurtful, I might need to go apologize, you know, to a little dinky. Right? But anyway, and then notice this last one, training in righteousness, training in righteousness. The idea of child training is the word, but not just for children to be trained, but for us to be trained and in righteousness. I remember I came across this little illustration in a Navigator book years ago. Teaching, and this is those four points together, teaching shows you the path to walk on. Reproof shows you where you got off the path. Correction shows you how to get back on the path. Instruction shows you how to stay on the path. I thought that was pretty helpful. And we need, and again, all that comes, and we need that, and that comes through the Word of God. We need God's Word. And and I know you pray. I so appreciate prayer. And praying for me, it means a whole lot. But like when we're on a Sunday morning, just pray that God, first of all, that what I say is true, that it's consistent with, and it's powered by God's Spirit. And not just me, but anybody speaking. But what I'm thinking is the audience, that God will help us love God's Word and be receptive to God's word. You know, I think of some of these young bucks, right? They got all kinds of energy, you know. May God get a hold of their hearts now. But for us old people too, right? May God get a hold of our hearts so that we grow. But these are things we need in life to get through life, to stay on track. And so let's just ask God to help us love his word and absorb his word. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. What a wonderful thing to be able to have your revelation recorded through inspiration to be given to us. And now we have it bound. It's amazing. We live in a generation where we have it bound. We can have various volumes. It's an awesome privilege we have. Thank you for it. May we be motivated to walk it out, to live it out, to walk in your word all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.